You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, May 14th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. All right, we've kind of made it to the end of this week. As the regular listeners know, I'm taking off tomorrow. I'm leaving on a jet plane headed to Anchorage, Alaska for the Northwest Cannabis Classic. And to give you some idea of just how vast Alaska is, this trip that I'm taking is my longest flight of the year, my longest single flight of the year so far. I leave Portland at about 10 till 4. I land in Alaska at 10:30 my time. So six hour, 40 minute flight is longer than my flight to Dallas. And it's just about as long as my flight to Miami. If you don't realize, if you think in your head of the picture of the state of Alaska, the map of Alaska, you know how it's kind of got those long stretch of Aleutian Islands that stretch all the way almost to Russia. And then the other, kind of the back leg of Alaska that runs down the west coast of North America down toward Seattle, right? The distance between the ends of those two legs is the same distance between Los Angeles and Atlanta. That's how huge Alaska is. And I'm really excited to be going there this weekend for the Northwest Cannabis Classic. Tomorrow we will have a replay show. And on Monday we will have a highlights show featuring clips from the Northwest Cannabis Classic and all the interviews that I do up there. I'll be back next Tuesday for a show and then catch a flight to Washington, D.C. to take part in the normal legislative fly-in. We'll be doing presentations on the first day, and then on Thursday, we will be lobbying our national lawmakers. I think I'm going to lobby the Idaho delegation because the Oregon delegation is pretty much on our side. So I'll make claim to my birth state and lobby some of those hardline Republicans from Idaho. All right, coming up on today's show, though, we've got talk about a great show before we take off for all of these trips. Not one, not two, not but three amazing interview guests to listen to today. Coming up at half past, we're going to be talking with Bob Smith. He's the organizer of CannaCon. We covered that up in Tacoma, the first one that they ever did last year. Now they're doing one this year, June 11th, 12th, and 13th in Denver, Colorado. So we'll talk to Bob all about that. Following Bob, we'll have a visit from our friend Brandon Krenzler. He's CannaDad, also known as the father of brave Michaela, the little girl who beat leukemia through the use of cannabis oil here in the state of Oregon. He's going to talk to us about his experiences with the representatives of Medical Marijuana Inc. and their product, the Real Scientific Hemp Oil, and how that made he and his daughter sick. So that story is coming up at the end of the first hour. And then all of hour two, we are going to be replaying the 1 hour press conference. It was a telephone town hall that took place today. Drug Policy Alliance's Asha Bandele was interviewing Dr. Carl Hart, the neuropsychopharmacologist from Columbia University. That's it. So Dr. Carl Hart took questions in the second half hour. My question was included among them. So stay tuned for that coming up in hour two. Also coming up on the show, we'll go behind the headlines to take a look at the arrogance of Oregon Senator Ginny Burdick as she continues to ignore the will of her constituents. And we have some drug war data mining. Can you really fail a drug test from secondhand smoke? Like if you hotbox a room with some friends? But it all starts right after the 420 radio news. That's coming up right after this break. We got news from Arizona, Israel, Wisconsin, Kentucky, and a new study on dementia and medical marijuana. It's the Russ Belville Show. Stick around. We're right back after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee Educated.
I know of no instance in my entire career where someone was acting out under the influence of marijuana. People under the influence of alcohol are much more problematic. Law enforcement officials have more important things to do with their time than arresting people for marijuana possession. They need to be there to protect the public, to respond to crimes such as robbery, burglaries, rape, and murders. Our state cannot afford to keep arresting people and putting them in jail for marijuana possession. It's time for a more sensible approach.
I like funky music, baby.
This is Big Daddy, and I want you to check out my show, The Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio, because we love us some funky music.
Funky Roller Ring.
I like it like that.
Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 14th, 2015. A law enforcement task force in Yavapai County cut a $50,000 check from RICO funds to a substance abuse group dedicated to fighting marijuana legalization in Arizona. The deal between the Yavapai County-based Partners Against Narcotics Trafficking Task Force and MATFORCE, the County Drug Prevention Group, was made soon after the Marijuana Policy Project announced it would launch a 2016 legalization campaign in Arizona. And more public funding against legalization could be on the way. Last week, Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich issued an opinion based on a question by Yavapai County Attorney Sheila Polk that public resources could continue to educate the public about the alleged evils of marijuana legalization. This decision allows elected officials to do more than simply use their time for a campaign against a planned ballot initiative. They can apparently spend money on advertising and other efforts as well. Israel's police chief, Yohanan Danino, has urged authorities to reevaluate legal approaches to the recreational use of marijuana following a major pro-cannabis protest with the participation of Knesset members last week. Danino spoke to high school students near Jerusalem and stated that they would be surprised to hear the existing government policies regarding cannabis. Quote, "I think it's time for the police, along with the state, to reevaluate its traditional position," end quote, Danino added, as quoted by the Times of Israel. Danino said that he had spoken to the legislators, urging them to rethink the Knesset's traditional position on cannabis use. The latest statements come about a week after a few Knesset members from both sides of the political spectrum joined over 1,000 people who took to the streets of Tel Aviv to protest the criminalization of recreational marijuana use. Over 21,000 Israelis are medically licensed to use marijuana legally. A bill passed by the Wisconsin State Assembly seeks to limit junk food purchases and require Wisconsin Work job training recipients to submit to drug testing. Funding for the Wisconsin Works drug tests has been voiced as a concern if the legislation becomes law. The cost of software at grocery store checkouts designed to track junk food purchases was also reportedly a concern for Wisconsin lawmakers. The Wisconsin drug testing bill would impact both the Wisconsin Works state job training program recipients and certain applicants that apply for unemployment benefits. Wisconsin state law mandates that all able-bodied adults who do not have dependent children get job training in order to receive food stamps. The drug test would also be applied to some food stamp recipients. Republican members of the state assembly who support the welfare junk food bill and drug testing bill reportedly want to ensure that public assistance recipients are healthy and therefore more employable. Year 2 of the University of Kentucky's hemp research pilot program is underway. Thursday, researchers from the school's College of Agriculture gathered to plant more hemp for the 2015 projects. Last year, the university planted less than a tenth of an acre. This year, they're planting hemp on 30 acres. The university already has 3 studies set up to investigate various uses of the crop. One study will address fiber production, another cannabinoid production, and a third will take a look at manipulating plant growth to try and keep seeds smaller at harvest time. Meanwhile, the Colorado Department of Agriculture has secured a permit from federal drug enforcement officials to import industrial hemp seed from foreign countries. The seeds are essential to kickstart Colorado's hemp industry, which state agriculture officials say has been a bottleneck in research and cultivation due to a lack of viable seed stocks. A low-dose THC pill wasn't effective at mitigating symptoms of dementia, researchers reported. In a randomized controlled trial, patients who were taking either placebo or oral tetrahydrocannabinol had similar reductions in neuropsychiatric symptoms, reported Dr. Geek Vandal Elson. However, they pointed out that the 4.5 milligram daily dose was well tolerated, so a dosage increase may boost efficacy, they wrote online in the journal Neurology. Some early evidence suggests that THC, the active component in marijuana, can improve symptoms such as agitation and nocturnal motor activity in patients with Alzheimer's disease. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 14th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
"420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
If you're just joining us, Oregon's Joint Legislative Committee that was assigned the task of implementing our recreational marijuana legalization got bogged down trying to restrict the medical marijuana program. Never mind that the Measure 91 Recreational Marijuana Legalization Initiative said 3 times that the existing medical marijuana program was not to be affected, and 56% of the voters agreed with that. It appears as though some of our elected officials think our petitions and votes aren't what we want to see written into law. They think our initiatives are merely advice. And, like then-Washington Governor Christine Gregoire in 2011, they are so easily frightened by vague, unrealized federal threats, they're willing to line-item veto the key provisions of sensible marijuana regulation. And should these politicians succeed, they'll wreak the same sort of havoc on Oregon's successful medical marijuana program as we are now seeing wrought upon Washington's. That joint committee of five senators and five representatives was well on its way to accomplishing most of the drastic changes to Oregon's medical marijuana program they sought, including the reduction in medical marijuana gardens from 6 mature plants per patient to a limit of just 12 plants total, regardless of how many patients a grower serves in urban areas, as well as new record-keeping and inspection requirements for medical marijuana growers. And again, despite Measure 91 saying, in effect, don't tinker with medical marijuana. But they deadlocked on local medical marijuana bans. When our medical marijuana dispensaries were created by the legislature in 2013, they allowed city councils and county commissions to institute bans until May 1st, 2015. Then, 146 out of 242 cities and 26 out of 36 Oregon counties instituted medical marijuana bans. Now that the ban deadline is up, the question became, how can cities and counties maintain those bans? House members wanted such bans to automatically go to the ballot for the voters to decide. Senate members instead wanted bans to remain in place until the people collected enough signatures to put it to a vote of the people. Never mind the fact that the recreational marijuana legalization we just passed by a 56% vote says that in order to ban a recreational marijuana dispensary, it requires a vote of the people, not just the votes of city councils or county commissions. As committee member Representative Ann Leininger adroitly noted, it shouldn't be any easier to ban medical marijuana sales. Since the joint committee has deadlocked, Senate President Peter Courtney has impaneled a Senate committee to push the local medical marijuana dispensary ban language the Senate members wanted. Leading that committee is the same co-chair from the joint committee, Democratic Senate President Pro Tem Ginny Burdick, joined by Republican Senator Jeff Cruz. The political calculus here is that she thinks she can get a bipartisan Senate majority to support it. Then, when it goes to the House, it's not just Representative Leininger and other joint committee members stonewalling it. The full House, she believes, will be swayed by the Senate into supporting the local ban language she favors. Of course, it strains credulity to think that if the handful of officials running a city or county can vote to ban medical marijuana dispensaries, that they won't demand that power to ban recreational marijuana shops as well, in contradiction to the clear language of Measure 91 that says only the public vote can institute a ban. And then we'll find ourselves in the same morass as Washington State, where medical and recreational marijuana are only available in the urban centers. The price of marijuana will be artificially inflated, especially if the precedent for ignoring Measure 91's only the people can ban language is later applied by the legislature to the only the state can tax language, thus allowing local pot sales taxes. And the reduction in the black market that legalization promised vanishes as it fills the need for patients and consumers in 146 cities and 26 counties or more. If Senator Ginny Burdick accomplishes these line item vetoes regarding local bans and local taxes, she'll have then defied the intent of fully 2/3 of her district who supported Measure 91. Folks, this isn't about marijuana. This is about democracy. Again, I ask, what good is citizen initiative power if the politicians feel they have the right to line item veto it? What good is voting when a key senator is willing to ignore a supermajority of her own constituents? And how in the hell does the Democratic Party of the state of Oregon end up having its leaders joining with Republicans to restrict medical marijuana rights? These are not the Democrats I'll be voting for when I get my next ballot, that's for sure. Doing the research today, I found that in Senator Ginny Burdick's district, out of all the precincts, every single precinct supported Measure 91 with a majority, except for one tiny little precinct, and the vote there was 200 against 174-4. So for one tiny little sliver of a precinct on the far outskirts of the Portland metro area, seems to be the only voters in her district that Ginny Burdick is willing to support.
Well, what the hell are we supposed to do, you moron?
Well, you can always contact Senator Ginny Burdick. I've got the post up at marijuanapolitics.com if you want to check out my column at marijuanapolitics.com, or just go to the Oregon Legislative website, go to the Senate page, and find the links for Oregon Senator Ginny Burdick, allegedly a Democrat. Happy 420, Denver. We're back with Drug War Data Mining after this.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
Funky Roller. What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink. Ooh, yeah. Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA free, and UV resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. And today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look at some science. We love science here at the Russ Belville Show. And this latest study, boy, I really would have enjoyed being a part of this one. This is a story coming from New York Magazine that points out one of the long-standing urban legends, as it were, about marijuana smoking. And that is the idea of the contact high. The idea that you could be sitting in a room with someone smoking so much marijuana that the ensuing cloud of secondhand marijuana smoke would lead you to feel high yourself. It's often used as a punchline. You know, we hear this as, you know, jokes and so forth, but it is a real world situation that deserves some investigation, because the corollary to the being hot boxed or getting the secondhand contact high is the idea of failing a workplace or school drug test because of that secondhand contact high. Many people have tried to use that excuse, including recently Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon, who blames his most recent positive drug test on secondhand marijuana smoke. So, a team of researchers led by Dr. Evan S. Herman of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine ran what they say is, quote, the first study to examine the influence of room ventilation on secondhand exposure to cannabis smoke, and the first study to examine the effects of secondhand cannabis smoke exposure on behavioral and cognitive performance, end quote. Real science, people. Real scientific tests on hotboxing a room. And this was published recently in the Journal of Drug and Alcohol Dependence. Now, what they did is they recruited regular pot smokers and non-pot smokers, and they build a special plexiglass room And they got blood tests beforehand to ensure that, you know, nobody had already smoked pot or had marijuana in their system. And they kept them overnight to make sure that they could monitor them, to make sure that they weren't smoking any pot for that next day. And they did, of course, you know, pre-tests before the hotboxing began and post-test after the hotboxing began. They basically put 6 pot smokers and 6 non-pot smokers into what they called the smoke exposure chamber at 9 in the morning. The chamber was 10 foot by 13 foot with a 7-foot ceiling. It was made of plexiglass and aluminum support beams and had an adjustable window for ventilation. Now, the smokers and the non-smokers all sat around a table in alternating seats, right? You know, smoker, non-smoker, so on. All participants wore protective clothing over their normal clothes during the exposure session and were provided with swimming goggles to prevent eye irritation from the accumulated smoke. Now, picture that in your head. 12 people sitting in a room with a plexiglass room with swim goggles on while it gets hotboxed. It's my kind of science, man. So each smoker was provided 10 cannabis cigarettes from NIDA, National Institute of Drug Abuse, and each cigarette contained 1 gram of 11.3% THC cannabis. They sealed the door and they had 60-minute exposure sessions. The smokers were instructed to smoke cannabis cigarettes as often as they chose to, and they had to smoke it through this device that measures how many puffs they took, what was the volume of the puff, and so forth. They had to remain seated for the whole time, but they could talk, they could read, they could use their, you know, iPhones or whatever. The research staff monitored the exposure, and pulse oximeters were used to monitor blood oxygen concentration every 15 minutes. So they ran 2 sessions. One session, the vents were closed. The room was allowed to get completely hotboxed. And then another session, the vents were opened, so there was a little bit of ventilation. So the results they found was that the exposure to secondhand cannabis smoke in an unventilated chamber the size of a small room produced minor increases in heart rate, mild to moderate subjective drug effects, and minor but detectable levels of performance impairment on some behavioral cognitive assessments. The THC concentration in one specimen was sufficient to trigger a positive urine screen at a cutoff of greater than 50 nanograms per milliliter, which is the cutoff recommended for the mandatory guidelines of federal workplace drug testing programs. And multiple positive urine results were observed for 4 participants using a more stringent cutoff of 20 nanograms per milliliter, which is used by commercial and private workplace drug testing programs within a day of exposure. In other words, to translate from scientific ease, yes, you can get a contact high if you're in an unventilated small room of about 100 cubic feet, I should say, or maybe 1,000, whatever the math is. And you can trip a drug test as that result. Now, they did point out that if the room was ventilated, quote, reduced levels of exposure among non-smokers, evidenced by much lower or undetectable levels of cannabinoids in blood and urine, and the absence of subjective or behavioral cognitive effects. So, if there's ventilation in the room, you don't have much of a leg to stand on. But if you can prove you were in an unventilated room with a cannabis smoker smoking moderately strong cannabis with, I should say, multiple cannabis smokers smoking moderately strong cannabis with no ventilation in said room, you can develop a contact high and you can fail a drug test. I can't wait for defense attorneys across the country and employment law attorneys to start getting a hold of this scientific study.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everyone, and joining us in the Cannabis Community Chat today, we have Bob Smart. He's the organizer of the CannaCon Expo coming soon to Denver, Colorado. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, Russ. Thanks.
Hey, I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm excited to hear about CannaCon. Give us the dates and what you guys have in plan for Denver.
Well, for Denver, we've got the convention center for June 11th, 12th, and the 13th. And on the 9th, just before that, we're doing the first CannaCon Open charity golf tournament.
Oh, that's so cool. All right, let's talk about the golf tournament. You say it's a charity golf tournament. Who is it benefiting? How can people sign up and become a part of this?
You can go to CannaCon.org and just click on the golf tournament and you can sign up there. Tee times are $250 and we only have 128 of them. We've got a lot of sponsorship for holes. We've got a $100,000 shootout for a hole-in-one going on. And that'll be a really, really cool golf tournament. We're in negotiations now and it looks like everything will be approved by them to give the money to the Colorado Epilepsy Foundation.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They're not really a cannabis, per se, charity, but they do a lot for lobbying to get it approved because of the kids and epilepsy.
Absolutely.
So they're a great charity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering, you know, Bob, when you're trying to, you know, put together these events, these charity events, and give the money away. I know in Washington State, there was a cannabis farmer who tried to raise money to give away to a school. They wouldn't take it. There's people that will refuse free money just because it's coming from the cannabis industry. Did you run into any of those problems?
We did. We're actually having to get approved from the Epilepsy Foundation just for them to take the money, just so we can give them hopefully $20,000 to $30,000.
Wow, that's so hard to believe that, you know, you would think. Now, I can understand if, you know, you were the KKK or something trying to give them money, and maybe you don't want to endorse that. But the Epilepsy Foundation, if I'm not mistaken, maybe this isn't the national, maybe it's one of the state ones, but some of these Epilepsy foundations have come out in favor of cannabinoid medicine. So why would they be hesitant to take your money?
Oh, they just want to make sure what we're putting on is not a big smoke fest because they just don't want to be associated with that. They want to be associated with the medicinal part. And so they're doing a little background on CannaCon, and it's always going to come back that that's not what we are. We're totally business. So
gotcha.
We should be good with that. But yeah, it's sometimes tough giving them money.
Amazing. Now, which golf course will this be held at?
Plum Creek in Castle Rock.
All right. Looking forward to that. You know, golf and weed go together like golf and weed. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. I don't know too many course guys who don't smoke. You know, the course monitor guys, they usually do.
Yeah. It's pretty well established, you know. Now, as far as the CannaCon goes, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, those are the dates, right?
Correct.
Okay, so for the CannaCon, you mentioned that it's a business event. It's not any kind of smokeout. So this isn't like a public consumption type, you know, cup event. This is more business-to-business stuff, or is it also business-to-consumer?
It's business-to-business and business-to-consumer. It's predominantly business-to-business. I mean, what we specialize in is getting products and services for the emerging cannabis industry at the show with their products and services. But then we're really good at getting the growers, processors, and retailers to come to the show, because that's actually who these people's clients are and who's paying for the stuff. So that's the thing that we're pretty good at. We had 10,983 attendees come to our Seattle show in February. And wow. They bought about $6 million worth of product at the show.
Mm. What are your expectations for this Denver event? Bigger crowds, I'd imagine.
Well, that's what everybody keeps telling me. My original expectations were probably a little smaller because, you know, here we're local, we know everybody. But, you know, we went out for World Cannabis Week and we're very well received. Everybody was, you know, happy to see us. And so I think it's, people are telling us 15,000 to 20,000 people might show up.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, who are some of the prime sponsors of the CannaCon? Who are helping you make this happen?
Oh, we've got like Green Bits, yeah, Dutch Master Nutrients, Leafly. Oh, boy, I should have had my computer in front of me to answer all those. I'm trying to think of some of our other main sponsors. MJBA, they've helped us immensely. They've been great. I'm trying to find some of these. Grayling, mm-hmm. They're kind of a cool company. They're a big PR firm. I'm not really cannabis industry, but they've been very helpful. We've got 420 tours. Those guys are great. 420 hotels where they're cannabis friendly. So anybody coming to the show can book a room to them and have a cannabis friendly hotel, which is really nice. Plus they do tours and all kinds of other things like that. And VC99 is a big packaging company. Again, not cannabis industry. I mean, some of their machines sell for $500,000.
Wow.
We've got a magazine, Marijuana Venture magazine. Those guys are great. Canna Ventures, they're another PR firm here in Seattle.
I'm sure they'll all be listed up at the website. You can find it at cannacon.org. We're speaking to Bob Smart. He's the organizer, president of CannaCon. And I was able to attend your first CannaCon up there in Tacoma, Washington. And I did, I did note how it was very professionally run, very business to business. And what I like about it, and I hope you take this in the way that I mean it, is that marijuana expos are kind of becoming de rigueur, kind of mundane, kind of like, hey, it's just another business expo. It's not, you know, illegal pot and the whole world's coming down on us.
Yeah. No, I agree. And you know, that's kind of one of the things I tried to do a little different with CannaCon, because there's a bazillion shows out there now. All have to do with cannabis. But most of them are lifestyle, you know, where everybody's smoking. They're great, like HempFest. I go every year. I'm a VIP member. Love those guys. And then there's like the Marijuana Business Summit coming up in Chicago and the one they have in Denver from the NCIA. And those are the business guys getting together. But there was really no place for the guys who have lights and nutrients and soil and services to showcase their product to the grower, the processor, and the retailer that's actually buying their stuff. So basically all I come from the home show industry. So all I tried to do is do a home show. You know, you go to a home and garden show, your home's not there. Every service and every product for it is. That's really what CannaCon is.
Right on.
There's no marijuana at the show. We don't allow it.
Yeah, no marijuana at the show, but everything you could ever want to know, see, or experience about marijuana industry and all of the ancillary products and services that are necessary for that industry. Again, speaking with Bob Smart from CannaCon. And Bob, for this CannaCon, it's coming up in Denver, June 11th through the 13th, but are there other future CannaCons people should mark the dates for?
I don't have exact date. Well, I do have the dates for CannaCon in Seattle again. That one's going to be the third week of February every year. That'll be CannaCon week in Seattle.
Third week of February, CannaCon week.
Also working on putting together one in October here in Seattle. It'll be a CannaCon Women's Expo. Hmm. We've got a lot of backing for that, and that should be in October.
All right. So between you're setting up these expos in Washington State and in Colorado, the first two legal states, Oregon and Alaska have legalized, and their businesses should roll out 2016 or at least by 2017. Any plans to go to those other states as well?
Absolutely. And what I have to kind of look at is I got to make sure that there's enough of a market actively going that the vendors sell stuff instead of just going up and showcasing it. You kind of know what I mean.
Yeah.
So when those markets emerge and there are enough growers and processors in the area, to actually come out and spend $3-4 million at the show.
Yeah.
Then I will absolutely be there. Now, what we're doing on top of the Canicon Expo, though, part of the Canicon Expo is all of our seminars. We have some of the best seminars there are, and they're inexpensive. It's only $125 for all 3 days of seminars, so it's something everybody can afford. We are going to start doing the seminars. We're going to hit one state, city a month throughout the year with just a seminar series. And one of our first places we'll go is going to be up in Anchorage, and then we plan on going down to Portland, and then we'll kind of go from there.
These seminars all
would be a great spot to go. I think that Georgia, if I remember right, just legalized medical.
Yeah.
We have plans to go to Atlanta and Florida. So yeah, we're going to be doing the seminar series as well.
And
so
these seminars, are these business focused seminars or also on science or law or what?
Not really. They're more about how to teach them how to actually grow, how to process, how to do the job itself, how to run their business, but not really business seminars on how to go get your financing so much. And we're not really trying to get into the marijuana business summits. That's their deal, and they're really good at it. We're really just giving education on how to actually, turn marijuana into cookies and how to actually do the job so it's done right. Because there's still a lot of, I've been doing this for 40 years, and there's still some not so great product out there.
Yeah.
And just because there's no real standards and nobody teaching them how to do it other than trial and error in their garage and stuff like that. So we're going to try and, just teach them proper ways, standards of how to do things.
Oh, right. The Canicon is June 11th through 13th in Denver, Colorado. The website is canicon.org. And I assume, I shouldn't assume, but are you sold out? If someone's a vendor listening to us in Denver, do they still have time to get involved?
Yeah, it's a huge venue. We've still got, if I remember the last count last night, we had 58 booths left.
Oh, fantastic. All right, so anybody out there wanting to get involved, go to the Canicon website, canicon.org, and you should be able to find out everything you'll need to know to get yourself involved. Before we let you go, Bob, we've got about a minute left. If there's anything else you want to tell folks about Canicon or to help them understand what's going on.
Well, one of the coolest things I think about Canicon is why so many of the growers and everybody come out is we've got manufacturers out there. We've got distributors, wholesalers. You're not going to find better pricing ever at any one time, and you're not going to see as many products and services in one place anywhere else on the planet. So you come out and you're going to see 20 different kind of lighting companies. So if you've been looking for LEDs or double-ended HPSs or anything, you can check them all out in one place. And then we have seminars to teach you the best kind of lighting for the type of you're growing. So you come out educated and you know what to go look at. And then all of a sudden there's a great deal for you as well. So it just kind of all blends in together. We educate the consumer so they feel better about making some buying decisions and they know better what they're supposed to be buying or should be buying. So it just kind of all works together. Everybody comes out real happy. And I think one of the best things I found, and you probably saw this at the first show, it's a real good sense of community. It's a fun place to be. Everybody has a good time and helping each other out. So
absolutely.
Kind of keep everything that way.
I completely agree. Had a great time at the Canicon in Tacoma. Looking forward to the Canicon in Denver, June 11th through 13th. Website is canicon.org. And this has been Bob Smart talking to us. We want to thank you for calling in and good luck with the Canicon. It's going to be great, I'm sure.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Stay tuned, folks. We got time for another guest in this first hour. Brandon Krenzler's calling in. We're going to talk about Medical Marijuana Inc. and the alleged real scientific hemp oil. And then stay tuned for hour two. We've got an hour of the Real Drug Talk Town Hall with Dr. Carl Hart. It's not to be missed. And it's all coming up next.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. It's about weed. It's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everybody. For the Radical Rant today, we're expanding on some interviews that I did a couple of weeks ago. I interviewed Stu Titus. He's the CEO of the company Medical Marijuana, Inc. And the next day, I interviewed Andrew Hard, who's a spokesperson for Medical Marijuana, Inc. And I got to kind of a contentious discussion with Mr. Hard about his company's so-called real scientific hemp oil. And in particular, I had asked about our friends of the show, Brave McKaylee. You remember the little girl who beat leukemia with the cannabis oil, and her father, Brandon Krenzler, who both mentioned that they had tried the oil and it kind of made them ill and wasn't a very good product. And that's where we'll pick up the story here. We've got Brandon Krenzler on the line with us. Brandon, welcome back to the show.
Hey, how are you, Russ?
I'm doing fantastic. And before we get into this, I know you were in that Michaela had a medical procedure today. How's everything going? Is everything okay?
Yeah, Michaela actually had her port removed from her chest today, signifying the for sure end of her chemotherapy treatment or risk of needing more.
Man. We are very, very thrilled about that. She just keeps getting better and better. I saw y'all, actually I saw Aaron and Michaela at the Global Cannabis March, and her hair is just long and she's smiling and pretty and energetic. So we are still very, very, very grateful about how cannabis helped her and her battle. But tell folks about this Medical Marijuana Inc. story, because, you know, the feeling I get is that this company is kind of exploiting parents that have this need for cannabidiol, CBD oil, by telling them they've got this legal product derived from hemp that'll do just as good as, say, Charlotte's Web or something. I mean, you're much deeper into this than I am, so I'll just let you take it from there and tell the listeners what they need to know.
Well, Charlotte's Web is basically hemp. so a couple of years ago, at the height of the publicity of surrounding Michaela's story, I was approached by a man named Charles Best, who said he worked with a company called RSHO, or Real Scientific Hemp Oil. And he asked if he could fly up to Oregon and introduce this amazing life-saving product, because he was for sure that Michaela would benefit immensely from it. And so after talking with Aaron, we invited him up here. And that was in September of 2012. and I believe 2012. Anyway, they came up here and they had a dinner with us, a snack at the Voodoo Donut, somewhere they both wanted to go. A man named Michael Mona, or who was introduced to me as Michael Mona and Charles, and they showed us this tube of black pasty oil and said it was high CBD derived from hemp. It was totally legal, and said it would help Michaela and help everybody else that we worked with because of the big pediatric patient push that we put out there saying we would help people. Naturally, we were inclined to believe it, and we kindly took the offering he gave us, some $1,000 package, basic package of their oil, and sent us on our way to go try it and give it to the masses and speak highly of it. And they also scheduled a meeting with us to sit down and talk about ways to make money off of the oil and fashion like Amway, if you will, pyramid scheme, in my opinion. After they told us all about the different ways we could represent this oil and brand it with Brave Michaela's image and put it out there like that, something we decided against right away. To jump along real quick, we took the oil back to where we lived, and I gave some to Michaela, and she complained that it made her sick to her stomach, and it didn't make her feel very good at all, and that she wasn't hungry, and it totally had the opposite effect of what cannabis oil has on her through her therapy, and that concerned me a little bit. But I figured, hey, you know, it's not something she's used to. Maybe I dosed her wrong. We'll still give it a shot. And we've had a lot of other families reach out to us for help. And so we decided, hey, you know what? Let's give them some of this CBD oil and see if that helps them. And so I sent it to two pediatric patient families in the same week, both here in Oregon. And the report I got back from one parent, a mother of a child who had severe epilepsy, was that they ended up in the ER the night they gave them the oil because it basically shut down or slowed his digestion. And he ended up with an impacted bowel, and nothing else in his diet had been changed. So his mother was very adamant that it was that oil. Man. And that made me feel horrible hearing that kid had to go to the hospital. And so I began to question this oil. And I called up the guys that gave it to us and went round and round with them on what could be the potential cause of this. Are there impurities in it? Is it tested? Where does the hemp they derive it from come from? And they're very not forthcoming. You know, they dodged a lot of my questions. It got really heated. I ended up hanging up on them. And about a few days later, the other parent of another child that I sent it to called me and said that it hurt their child's stomach as well. It made them feel nauseous. They vomited, and it didn't do anything to help her seizures. And this was a little girl. And ultimately, it led that family to uproot from the local area we lived in and go to Colorado and get on the waiting list for Charlotte's Web. At that point, I decided that it was time to, like, figure some things out. What could be the cause of this? I was going to have to do it on my own, do some research. I started connecting with other people who had had problems or had raised questions about the oil. I was given some test results that have since been brought into question, showing some really bad impurities. Things of that nature. I worked with Martin Lee a little bit, giving him a story and some statements for their project where they were basically calling in Medical Marijuana Inc. out about this oil, and it turned into kind of a big deal.
Yeah, we're going to be having Martin Lee on the show in a week or two to discuss that as well. And Brandon, I wanted to focus on, you know, we've got about 4 minutes. I wanted to make sure that we got this other point in. At the beginning of your story, you talked about how two representatives of Medical Marijuana Inc. Flew up on basically a recruiting trip to try to get you guys to shill for their product. And one of them represented himself as Michael Mona. What's up with that?
Yeah. I'm not sure. It was brought to my attention later on that name wasn't the guy's name, or that man was somebody else within the company. But I'm really pretty sure that this was the man. Martin Lee told me it was Michael Lamas, or however you say his last name. And I'm confused as to why he would introduce himself to me as Michael Mona. The other man is very honest about his name, and I just couldn't understand why, other than maybe the person that he said he was a higher up in the company or trying to give himself more credibility.
Okay, so the thing that put me in touch with the CEO and their spokesperson was a lawsuit they had filed, $100 million lawsuit against Project CBD regarding the one of the tests that was done on their Real Scientific Hemp Oil that had claimed to have found toxic heavy metals at unacceptable levels.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? What do you know about that angle?
The only thing I know about that is that there's been a lawsuit filed. I believe it's against Jehan Marku and Martin Lee and Jason Cranford. That was the test result I was discussing. That's the one that got circulated. And, you know, one of the things that got brought up was that I don't know how questionable it really could be, because in the report that was released, they stated that they had had a special laboratory actually confirm some of that stuff. So I don't know what to think about all that.
Yeah, it seems a little suspicious that the report comes out with this, you know, these toxic heavy metals, and then it kind of coincides with you and others reporting this stomach discomfort from the Real Scientific Hemp Oil that Medical Marijuana Inc. is trying to sell. And then suddenly they retract that and say there was, it was a mistake, and now we've got these new numbers that are, you know, far better. And to me, that doesn't really solve the problem, because if you know, at one point you're saying there's 63 parts of something, and then there's less than 5 parts in the second test, how do we know which test to trust?
I understand that. And, you know, here's something I can bring up is I sent that stuff in to get tested for just cannabinoid profiling 2 times. And one time I sent it to Going Green Labs here in Portland. Mm-hmm. And it came, the test result came back as too high in THC to match the results, thus making it illegal to ship. I'm on the phone, sweetheart. And when I posted the results online, within hours, that company had contacted that lab and had threatened them with all manner of things, to the point where the lab called me and said that I was not allowed to share those results and they would no longer give them credibility as if they were the testers.
Wow, that seems...
So that interests me as to how this, you know, this is a multi-million, even more money company. They have a lot of lobbying weight. They have a lot of financial prowess, if you will, to help get things turned the way they will. I mean, just showing what they did to a local lab here, they could have done that to any lab. And that's my opinion.
Yeah. We're speaking again with Brandon Krenzler, the father of Brave Michaela, and both of them and others reporting stomach distress upon using Medical Marijuana Inc.'s Real Scientific Hemp Oil, often known as RSHO. The company is MJNA on the penny stocks. And Brandon, we got about 30 seconds. If you want to give out any contacts or Facebooks or any of that kind of stuff, if people want to learn more and get in touch with you.
You can find me online under basically any social media platform as Canadad, and I also have a blog, Canadad's blog, at blogspot.com. My daughter has a website, www.bravemichaela.com, where you can follow along with what she's been through and what we chose to do along that journey, treating her leukemia with cannabis oil.
Right. So glad to hear that her chemo is done and that port has been removed. That's great news. Check out bravemichaela.com. That's M-Y-K-A-Y-L-A, bravemichaela.com, and Canadad everywhere on the social media. Brandon, hey, man, you guys have been through so much, and you keep persevering and educating the public out there. I'm really proud of you. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, Russ. Take care, my friend.
You're welcome. Folks, that's all the time we got for hour one, but make sure you stay tuned for hour two. It's a must listen. It's the 1 hour Real Drug Talk Drug Policy Alliance town hall meeting that took place today, featuring Dr. Carl Hart, the author of High Price. You've seen him. He's that African-American doctor with the long dreadlocks who's been on all the shows lately. He is the new superstar of the drug reform movement, and you'll want to hear what he has to say. My question comes up at about 45 minutes through. Hey, folks, that's all the time we got for today. No live show tomorrow. Time flies when you legalize. We'll talk to you Tuesday. Until then, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.